rise up from the altar right here. And there you can, well, maybe you can't see it that way. Anyway, do it this way. You can see right here the smoke came up. That smoke is the Holy Ghost. But here is the smoke. The smoke went up. You see how it goes up? Now, where did it go? It went into the nostrils of God. Come on, Pastor. God's got nostrils? Yes, he's got nostrils. Because we have, and we do, attribute to God the attributes of man. So we read in the Word that he's got eyes and ears and a nose to smell the sacrifices, and he's got feet, and he's got the attributes of man because we have been created in whose image? Therefore, don't cross me out completely. He does have a nostril. So, with all respect, Abba Father, when those people gave those great sacrifices right there, the smoke went into his nostrils. And the Bible says that he was pleased. He was pleased. He was greatly pleased with what he saw. And then time goes on into the temple. Now, be quiet. This temple is really something. I was talking to my guide, not to the dog. God loves animals. Come on in. Come on in. Let the animals come. I know it's late, but I've got to chase one rabbit. The dog came down the aisle, right? My first church, I'm 19 years old pastoring. I can't believe that. And so at the end of the service, we had what we call an altar call. We asked people to come forward. And I said, it was a stormy night, and the front door had opened several times. And I said, there's trouble ahead. There's trouble ahead. And all of a sudden, this dog, like the dog a moment ago, started walking down the aisle. It came down to the altar. Everybody started cracking up. Ow, what's happening? And I said, there's trouble ahead. And so somebody in the congregation said, the dog's name is Trouble, Pastor. And when the dog came in, he was happy sitting in the back. But when I said, there's trouble ahead, trouble came down ahead. Okay, that's my one rabbit for the day. In the temple, it was a beautiful place where the sacrifices were given. And I just cannot imagine, when I'm trying to imagine, which is hard for me to imagine, the blood that came from all of the animals. I mean, it was not just pogo chicken once. It was a lot of animals. It was a lot of blood. And the blood was on the altar. It was sprinkled everywhere. And in the temple part, they say that because of all the animals that were brought in, even at one time, that these animals' blood would drain from the altar. It would go down to a trough, and the trough would eventually go into the Kidron Valley where it would go. So we got sacrifices. Okay, we have talked about sacrifices, but there is another sacrifice that we have to talk about, and that is this sacrifice. And that sacrifice is who? So we go from the Old Testament to the New Testament, AD 33. Tell me why I like that picture is this. Most of the pictures that you see of Jesus is maybe something on his chest, you know, a couple of stripes. That's not true. That's not true. I heard somebody say, in fact, it says, as you see on the screen, that he was so marred that he was not even recognizable. And I think to myself, when I see a picture like that, or I hear people say, yeah, Jesus sacrificed himself for me. God, you don't understand. You don't understand what a sacrifice is all about. Well, Jesus, of course, was truly sacrificed. And it's so very important. This is the second sacrifice, and I'm reading from Hebrews 9. It's not on the screen, but this is what it says. But when the Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, it's not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, which you've seen in being sacrificed, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood. Say his own blood. His own blood. Thus he obtained eternal redemption, as I read in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 through 12. So, people, listen. For those who are in Christ Jesus, are any of those people here? Yes. For those who are in Christ by virtue of saving faith, the only acceptable worship, listen, the only acceptable worship is to offer ourselves completely to the Lord under God's control in view of the human sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. That is the only reasonable sacrifice. Francis, you're on. Francis, where's Francis? We'll have a pause for a moment. When duty calls, people respond. Hello. We're waiting for Francis. Hello, Francis. We've been waiting for you. So, yeah, Francis is on right now. So, Francis, do your thing, please. Do your thing, Francis. And Jaden, put on the blank screen. Oop, that's the wrong one. Black? Thank you, thank you. Okay. Sacrifice. The altar, you saw on the screen. So here we go. I read here that we are to offer ourselves as a sacrifice. So, on this date, 2016, for those who are listening or watching, I want to sacrifice myself. Okay? Come on, guys. Do what you got to do. Okay, this guy. I'm here. We've not practiced. But do what you're supposed to do.
Don't move, boy.
Oh. Okay, I'm here. Oh, gosh. So I'm being sacrificed. You may go. Oh. Ooh. Now I just read. No. Come on. Don't care. You're carrying this too far. No, come on. Well, I talk about being sacrificed.
That's what you said. You're doing all this. You don't need to do this.
Talk to me.
But if that's what you want to do, we can sacrifice. It's not going to remove your sin, but it'll remove your beating heart.
One way to get your ticket.
This will not remove your sin.
I just want to go there. But I got to sacrifice myself?
No.
What he said?
No,
I just read. Hey, the guy just told me. I listened to myself. It said, sacrifice yourself.
It said, be a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice.
So I don't have to.
You don't have to do this.
Ow.
That but if you woo. Say the word.
I'm not going to say the word.
All right.
Get that off of my chest.
All right.
Stop.
Oh, my God. This is going to go viral, I'm sure. Okay. Gosh, I've had it. Ah. Okay, the Bible says I'm supposed to be a sacrifice, okay? But the guy that held the sword over me said you're supposed to be a L-I-V-I-N-G sacrifice, which says what? Living sacrifice. Oh, gosh, a living sacrifice. Okay, this is what a living sacrifice is. Let's go, Neil. The living sacrifice. I want you to read the screen if it should come up. 2016, this is what? Now, it says, and read with me, people. You brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test His good and pleasing and perfect will. Wow, you read very well. This is from the NIV, which stands for what? Right. Now, there are many other versions, and I use a different one every year. I've been doing it for 40 years or more. And so the other one that I like so much is this one. It's from the what? The Message. So it's a little bit longer, but ask me why I like it. Well, now that you asked, I will tell you. I like it because it speaks in the vernacular of my talking. Boy, I talk. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. Read, okay. So this is what the Bible says in the Living Translation, Romans 12, 1 and 2, about sacrificing yourself. So read, here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlock the culture around you, always dragging you down of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So this is what the Message says from Romans 12, 1 and 2. We're talking about presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. So here's the first thing. No, that's not the first thing. We're going to go back. Let's go to that one. So I'm walking on the beach right now. And as I walk, I'm wondering who is watching me. Well, there could be some people watching me as I walk. But more importantly, as I pull out my smartphone, I see that the government is watching me. Yep, that's true. You have a smartphone. There is an app in there that is hidden, and the government knows who you are, where you are, and what you're doing. You go to the In-N-Out Burger, they know what you're eating, because the government can do this through the government's technology, and my smartphone is relaying this information to them. So I think to myself, wow, Neil, if the government can do that, or to backtrack, if I could look around and see people watching me right now, walking on the beach, what about Abba Father? Because He is watching me. And His GPS, oh, that is so cool, dear people. He is watching every movement that you make. And as I say this, as I walk, I want you to know that I must remind myself that it is so important, I catch my breath, it is so important that I watch where my feet are walking, I watch what my lips are talking, and I watch what my ears are listening to, because I contain the Spirit of God living in me, in my temple, as He does live in your temple, dear people. So my encouragement to you, as you see this on the screen where I was walking today, bear in mind that He, Almighty God, is watching you, and that thrills me. It also scares me. Therefore, I come to the cross, and I thank the Lord Jesus for His blood shed for me for the forgiveness of my sins. In where I have walked, where I have talked, and what I have listened to, and what I have seen. So the bottom line is, as you see on the screen where I have walked, God is watching where you walk. And you go that song, He walks with me and He talks with me. Wow, you can see that on the screen right now. Wherever I was, He was. And wherever you are, He is, dear people. And He loves you so much. So that was my experience a few days ago with this little guy. It's a free app that you can get on the App Store. And it tells you where you go. And the other day I was showing it to a friend, and it showed me walking out on the water. I didn't really walk on the water, but it showed me walking on the water. And I said, well, yeah, you know, but I didn't want to show off in front of everybody. Anyway, I want to read to you Psalm 33, 13, and 14. It reads like this. From heaven, the Lord looks down, and He sees all mankind. From His dwelling place, He watches all who live on the earth. So He's watching us, dear people. And so we're talking about sacrificing, which brings me strictly just to this. What does it mean to be a sacrifice? What does it mean? The black screen? No, the black screen. Come on, Justin, Jaden, black screen, thank you. Somebody just thought, what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? Because that's not what it means, obviously. But I want you to know, dear people, that I did feel the point on my chiseled abs. Oh, but I did feel, and I'm so glad. Who was it that didn't? Thank you, sir. Would that have been spectacular?
Yes.
And you could have seen me go to glory? And think I would have messed up the tablecloth? Oh, my gosh. Somebody messed up the tablecloth last week by mistake. There was coffee stain, so I took it off, had it cleaned, and brought it back. That would have been a sacrifice. But God's talking about a living sacrifice. Say living. Who are you, God? What are you doing? You're living, you're living, you're living. Ah, you're living, you're living. So here's what I found out. Well, what in the world is a living sacrifice? We see sacrifices all the time in the Old Testament. We know that people would bring their best animals to sacrifice to the Lord. We know that by doing the sacrifices, their sins would be covered as the people believed in God. But what does Paul mean when he says to us to be a living sacrifice? We're going to learn that in a few more minutes. God wants us to be a living sacrifice. So I asked Mr. Google, would you please tell me what it means to be a living sacrifice? He knows everything, but he knows even more. So here's what I typed out. It means to make an offering of, to consecrate or present to a divinity, God, by the way of propitiation. What a big word. What does that mean? It means the word pleasing to God. By way of propitiation to God as a token, acknowledgement, or thanksgiving. Or to destroy, surrender, or suffer to be lost for the sake of obtaining something to give up in favor of a higher or more greater object or duty. To devote with a loss, that's all. What it just means is that we got to give up what we like, what we have, what we are. And so the dictionary defines sacrifice as this. It's the complete surrender, say it, surrender, of something prized or desirable for the sake of something considered as having a higher claim. And I think this definition comes very close to what Paul had in mind when he says, present yourself a living sacrifice. You are living people here. You are living to me by the way of the CD. You are living people. And so you're to give yourself as a living sacrifice. So what does it look like in practical sense to be a living sacrifice living here on the Central Coast? Well, I've been thinking about that. Romans 12:2 we read will help us to understand, because we are a living sacrifice and we're told not to be conformed to the world but to be transformed. And so when I think of that word world, so here's what I say. 1 John 2:15, 16. The world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all these things are just passing. All that the world has to offer can be reduced to these three things. The lust of the flesh includes everything that appeals to our appetites, involves excessive desire for food, drink, sex, and anything else that would satisfy our physical needs. That's the lust of the flesh. Now, the second thing is the lust of the eyes. It involves materialism, coveting whatever we see that we don't have, and envy on those people who have what we don't have. And the pride of life, mentioned in 1 John 2, is any ambition that which puffs us up and puts us on a throne of our own lives. We need to get jump start. The other day, my TV, and I don't really have TV, but on my internet, I do have one channel, KSBY. And so it wasn't working, so my clicker wasn't working, so ask me how I got it working. Oh, you're so nosy people. So I took it and I pounded it on the chair. It worked. What happened? Bang. I jump-started it, so to speak, because I got a little upset with it. So I'm thinking about this. We need to sort of jump ourselves to get plugged into what a living sacrifice may be. So last week I was visiting one of the people in our church. I would list her name, list her by name, but her name is Christy. Oh, I just said that, didn't I? Okay. And so she showed me something she wrote out, and I'm writing it here so I can read it to you. And this is what she showed me. Our me-firstness, which is called sin, has driven us out of our sun orbit. So I had to run that through again. Our me-firstness, which is called sin, has driven us out of our sun orbit. So we need to be evolving more around Jesus, which we need to do, and this happens through rendering ourselves as a sacrifice. So the Bible says that we're to give our body. Is that what I heard you read? We are to offer our what? Our body. Okay. So, what constitutes a body? Well, let me suggest this, if it'll happen. There it is. Current sacrifices today on the Central Coast. Dear Jesus, here am I what? Oh, boy. Wish my feet looked as good as that. Okay, our feet. Lord, here are my feet. May I walk as Jesus walked. Go where you want me to go. Now, if our feet, people, are given as living sacrifices to God, how is that going to affect my daily life? Well, there's the positive and there's the negative. There are places where I wouldn't go because Jesus wouldn't go there. And since my feet are surrendered to him, I'll not go where he would not go. Well, that's nothing, no-brainer. Bars, social events, and scenes seem to be a compromising my stand for Jesus. What would Jesus do? So I say, Jesus, here are my feet. Here are my feet. So the negative thing is I'm not going to take my feet, which will obviously bring my body to those places which I've mentioned. But the positive thing is this: I can take my feet where it should go. For example, you men, tomorrow night in my little cabin, 495 Avalon, 647, we start right on the dot. So come, men, you can take your feet there. You know, if the feet come, they come with them, so that's good. And I set up for 10 guys. Okay, I couldn't have 10 guys. Okay. I got four comfortable chairs. Okay, so the other thing is, take our feet where you took your feet here to church, didn't you? What is happening in this beautiful place on Wednesday night? Yes, music, message, and ministry. So you could take your feet there. So as a living sacrifice, dear Jesus, this is where I'm going to take my feet. But we have other body parts, and how about this one? Come on, Neil. Dear Jesus, hear my what? Now, every one of you have got eyes and ears. Well, some have got four eyes. I only wear one contact here. So I look at you out of this eye, and I read out of this eye. And I'm working it out. Anyway, so here's the deal. Lord, here are my eyes. Here are my ears. May I, for my ears, listen to what you would listen to? If my eyes and ears are committed to God each day as living sacrifices, I'm going to be as much more careful about today what I look at and what I hear. Don't you think? Hear music, gossip, joke, languages, eyes for some guys, the women, lust. At first, John talked about the lust of the eyes. So the negative thing about our eyes are we got to watch what we see. I wish I could impress upon your mental image that what you see, God sees. Now, is he living inside of you? So if I'm looking at something I shouldn't look at, guess who's looking too? Oh, my God. Oh, my Jesus. Okay, that's the negative thing. But then there are the positive things also that we can take our eyes and our ears to. And one thing is to look at the Word of God daily. Read your Bible every day. Last Sunday at 2:30 at the Bayside Chapel, where I speak on the second and third Sundays, I said, read your Bible, dear people. If you don't have a Bible, I brought some that our church has given me to pass out. I said, here's the Bible. Is anybody here without a Bible? And believe it or not, somebody lifted up their hand. I couldn't believe it. How many Bibles do you have at home? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's another song. There's dust on the Bible. On the coffee table. Anyway, so I gave this lady this Bible, which she was so happy to have. So here are my eyes, here are my ears. I'm going to look at the Word, and I'm going to stop looking at the world that's not very good. So if I get this right, this is the next thing. Lord, current sacrifices today on the Central Coast. Dear Jesus, here's my what? I wish it looked that good. I don't know. Here's my heart. Lord, put in my heart your love. Put in my heart your compassion for all the people that I will see today as I leave this place. And then there's that Psalm 51 that says these words. Psalm 51, 15 and 17. You do not, God, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings, but the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. So, dear people, bear that in mind. You can sacrifice to the Lord. On your altar, be a living sacrifice. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart. I think some people may find it difficult to deal with other people every day that you meet. I meet with people that I have to, how you doing? Good to see you. Oh, no. But yeah, I got to watch my heart. It's difficult sometimes to like some of the people you deal with each day. All of us do, don't we? But with our heart given to God as a living sacrifice, there is freedom to give us His love for people, and we will start discovering that we care about people we never had cared for before. Daily, give your heart to Jesus. Now we give our heart to other people. Give your heart to Jesus. Well, I've already given my heart to Jesus. I walked the aisle, I lifted my hand, I got the ticket. But you know what? There's more to it than that. It's giving your heart to Jesus. It's a day-by-day thing to sit in His presence and just say, Dear Jesus, here's my heart. I sacrifice it to You. May I chase another rabbit? I went to the ER, and they wanted to examine my heart. I was sitting in the chair, and they said, Sir, we want to examine your heart. We're checking your heart. And I was in a jokey mood like I usually am. I said, I'm sorry, I don't have a heart. I don't have, what do you mean? What do you mean? I said, I don't have a heart. I gave my heart to my wife. Oh. And so I don't have a heart. And so finally we got to talk a little bit about the heart. You give your heart to your wife. You give your heart to your husband. You give your heart to a girlfriend or a boyfriend. But don't give our heart. It's a daily thing. It's a sacrifice. Not on the table with the sword. But it's giving our heart to the Lord. Okay, but there's one more thing. And that is this. If we can get to it. It's going to come. Yes, it's coming. Current sacrifices today on the central cost. Dear Jesus, here am I what? I met this girl the other day. I don't know what led me to do this, but I embraced her. I don't think I really knew her that well. But she said hi. I said hi. And so we found I was hugging her, loving her, Christian love, and I kissed her on the cheek. Nothing wrong with that. But here's the deal. If we're going to sacrifice my lips to Jesus, here's what I'm suggesting. Don't repeat dirty jokes that you hear. Don't repeat those foul languages, XXXX, that you hear. So I was this group of guys, and this guy is Jesus this and Jesus that, and he was just really a profanity, like a volcano. So I got him the guts. He's bigger than I was. I said, he was saying Jesus this and Jesus that. I said, Sir, do you know Jesus? Oh, that's what I went to the ER about my heart. Okay. So talk to Jesus everywhere you go for His sake. And we bring a sacrifice of praise into the house. You did that, people. I'd love to hear you singing. We had a choir this morning, didn't we? All of you, you're all part of it. Use our tongues to talk Jesus, to talk Jesus. You can talk to Him anywhere and everywhere. For example, yesterday, I'm going out of Rite Aid, Albertson's parking lot. I'm on my Bluetooth. I saw this guy with... he's hungry. I never go give money out to these people because either they're going to drink it or smoke it. So I give maybe a charge of a card somewhere. So this guy was wanting really bad. I was on the phone to a dear brother on my Bluetooth in my car. So I'm driving around talking to him, and then I see this guy. I said, Hang on. You can listen to what's happening. So I rolled the window down, and the guy was there. So I said, among other things, but I said, do you know Jesus? And he said, yes, I do. I gave him the charges of card to Burger King, which was just like 200 feet away. Go there, $5, you can get something to eat. The point is, I did say with my lips, do you know Jesus? And it was a sacrifice to say that, because sometimes I'm intimidated to say that. I don't want to say that. What will people think? What will people say? What will people do? Bring a sacrifice of our lips to the Lord, people, wherever you go, day in and day out. Use your lips, use your tongue to talk Jesus. And another thing, positive, if you have a prayer language, like, for example, I talked to a guy by telephone on this little guy 4 days ago in Pakistan. And I talked English, he talked English. But if he was talking in his native language, I couldn't understand him. My native language is what you're hearing, of course, obviously. But I think it really thrills his heart when you talk in his language. Now, he doesn't, okay. I've got this app on my phone which translates. So I go to these people, maybe in Casa or Bayside, who speak, hablo usted en español. ¿Cómo está usted, amigo? That's it. So I can say what I want to say and translate it to that person. He does not need the iPhone, the smartphone, or whatever you got. All he needs are your, and speak to him in his language. And you know, this, you may think this is sort of stupid and dumb and wow, but to me, I find it so refreshing and encouraging throughout the day when I'm driving my Bluebird or my car, and just to talk to him. Hey, how you doing? And what I'm trying to say is, and not flippantly, but what I'm trying to say is, dear people, use your prayer language. If you don't want, you can get one so quickly. Ask and you will receive. But the thing I like about the prayer language is sometimes I don't know what to say. I am speechless. Even if I would think my thought as to what I need spiritually, physically, financially, relationshipally, or whatever, he already knows. But to say it, when you talk to somebody, they listen. And I've learned to be a good listener. I've had so many appointments this past week with people, and I just said hi, and there they just sit back and listen. And listen and listen. Several times I said, I want to say something, but I just wanted to listen. Want to listen. And people, when they talk to you, they want you to listen. So when you're talking to Jesus, he doesn't have ear problems. No, he doesn't have an earphone, ear aid. He just says, speak it. But when you talk, the bottom line, people, when you talk his language, he listens just as much. But I think the benefit is not so much for his sake, because he knows everything, but the benefit is for my sake. I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. I'm talking in this language. Oh, Father, I'm just a little, pea shooter Neil. And I know he smiles and listens. And people, he smiles and listens to you. If you're speaking English, French, or Spanish, or Norwegian, or anything else, he listens to you because he understands it all. So here's the deal. Right behind you. I hate saying that, but here's the deal. Lord, here are my lips. So are you willing to sacrifice your body parts to the Lord? Are you willing to sacrifice your body parts to the Lord? So here we go. I just said that. Thank you. Are you willing to sacrifice your body parts on the altar of the world? Stand, would you, with me? Father God, your sheep are standing right here in the fold. And we are standing with our body parts. And I am asking as the under-shepherd here today to encourage each one of us to sacrifice our body parts to you. We've got the parts. We've mentioned the parts. We've got our feet, we've got our eyes and ears, we've got our heart, we've got our lips. And so, Father God, we sacrifice them to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. And while you're standing, the altar's open to receive anyone who would like to make a profession of faith and come forward and make a public profession of your faith. I accept Jesus as my Savior. And if you're here today, or if you're listening to me somewhere in the world, and you've never done that, it's a simple thing. You just say, Jesus, I help. Help is needed. Give me help. I say the ticket to go to heaven. I accept what you did for me on Calvary, and he accepts you. The other invitation is, maybe you want to join this little church. A lot of you people come every Sunday. You're not even a member of our church. Join the church. How do you join the church? You come down, and one of the elders of our church will stand here, and they'll say, what do you want to do? I want to join the church. And they'll say, okay. And so you'll receive this little card. You'll fill it out with a pen that has the church's name on it, and then you can become a member of the church. We need you to build up the body. This is good for several reasons, not only for your sake, but for the convention's sake of the Assembly of God organization. So the altar's open. Jaden, some background music, and we're just going to ask Jesus to move upon us now. Bow your heads, people, just for a few minutes, and let Jesus work on your heart and bless you.